Blog Talk Radio.
You are now connected to the Christian whistleblower, Jeffrey Dardy.
Taking on 2,000 years of indoctrination, 2 hours at a time.
Sink or swim, deep end information.
Asking questions no one else will.
Parabiblical research, spiritual technology, personal empowerment.
Be your own guru.
Master your own ascension.
Guide your own spirit.
And now, showing you how, the Christian whistleblower, Jeffrey Dardy.
I'm Jeffrey Dardy, the Christian whistleblower. Hello to you again. Another week of broadcasting on the Fresh Daily Show. It's the short, bite-sized version, we call it, of the Christian Whistleblower Show. We do it Tuesday, we do it Wednesday, we do it Thursday. And you can hear us on Deprogrammed Radio. And we're glad and proud to be here. Our two-hour show was on Wednesday from 8 o'clock Eastern time in the United States through 10 p.m. Check my website, jeffreydardy.com, christianwhistleblower.com, for more information on that. Tonight, you know, I usually like it when I can say I told you so. I usually get some joy out of saying I told you so, but we're seeing something in the United States right now that gives me no pleasure of saying I told you so. We're seeing a rash of police officers being shot, being attacked, being stalked. And I said some number of months ago, probably 6 or 7 months ago, that if the police in the United States do not stop their intimidate and control mentality and activities and go back to protect and serve, that exactly what we are seeing take place would begin to take place. People have been intimidated, controlled, pushed around, harassed, beaten, battered, bloodied, tased, pepper sprayed, shot, and killed. And the populace of the United States, not just in the black community, but the rage is probably centered in the black community, and perhaps rightly so. And I know these are tough comments to make, and these are controversial comments to make, but the black community has been mistreated historically by the police to a tremendous degree. And the sad part is that now only when the mistreatments, only when the beatings and the pepper spraying and the tasing has started to filter into the white community have these things really began to take place. So I know the person that shot the police officer in Texas, I think it was yesterday, they're coming almost every day, was black. But I'm telling you, folks, this is going to keep happening. It's going to get worse until law enforcement in the United States, and it's going to take some presidential leadership. I don't think the president that we currently have has it in him. And I don't know if there's any of the people that are currently running that are smart enough and have the correct temperament to take this on either, because you hear the front runners, you know, up there pounding their chest just like everybody else. And I think that the people that are the front runners might just say, keep mowing people down, cops, just take them over. And what has to happen is the police need to go back to the protect and serve mentality and lay down this correct and this control and intimidate mentality that they currently have. They need to remember that they are public servants. They need to remember that they are there to protect the citizens and to serve the citizens. They are not our bosses. They are not here to control us. They are not here to tell us what to do. They are here to enforce the laws and to protect the people. And they don't believe that anymore. That's why they're shoving people around, pushing people around. They're manhandling men, women, boys, girls. They're breaking people's bones, they're punching people, they're bloodying people, they're tasing people, they're shooting and killing people that are not committing offenses worthy of being shot and killed over. And if the police do not stop doing this, not only will this situation where they're being killed continue, it'll probably get worse. And I hate to say that. I have good friends that are police officers, and I have respect for police officers. I have respect for the law, respect for law-abiding, law-enforcing police officers. I have no respect for these thugs that had their ass kicked all the way through high school or on roid rage and become a cop just so they could push people around. Those idiots have to go. And until the culture's changed, nothing's going to change except more law enforcement bodies dropping. And that, of course, will mean more citizens dropping. And it could erupt into civil war on our streets. We obviously have a lot to learn from the UK. Their system works a lot better than ours. And we've got to find a way to remove. I mean, these cops walk down the street dressed like SWAT officers, dressed like military. They swagger. They try to intimidate. They are a bunch of thugs for the most part. Now, there are good police officers still out there, but this has come to a head. It's going to get worse, and unfortunately, I predicted exactly what was going to happen, and it is happening, and I wish that it were not happening. And interestingly enough, I didn't even think about this until right now. It kind of dovetails into what we're talking about this week on the Fresh Daily Show. I'm Jeffrey Daugherty. You can find me at jeffreydaugherty.com, christianwhistleblower.com. We're talking about Goddess Arise. We're talking about ladies, you've been down too long. And really, we're talking about the suppression of feminine energy. And that's really what's at the root cause of this whole police state that the United States is becoming, and it's really what's at the cause of the rebellion against the police state. And, you know, as tragic as it is for police to be being killed, it's a natural, direct, understandable result of police killing people, of police doing what they're not supposed to be doing, to whom they're not supposed to be doing it to, and it's going to continue until they stop. They've got to stop. And what really needs to happen is we have to stop suppressing the feminine energy in this world and allow it to come through and balance us out. See, this is what happens when everybody knows something. Because when everybody knows, nobody thinks. When everybody knows, nobody asks. When everybody knows, nobody questions. And nobody asks, by and large, why our Western societies are still decidedly patriarchal. Interesting fact, in 237 years of existence, the 50 United States of America have had a combined 37 female governors. 237 years of our existence as a nation in the United States, 50 states, so 50 times 237, do the math. I understand that's not exactly right because some of the states came in later, but it gives you an idea. Only 37 female governors. Since the establishment of the United States Senate in 1789, only 44 women have been United States senators. And of course, we have yet to elect our first female president. The UK, Europe, Central South America are ahead of the United States on this. But still, the patriarchal control and domination of Western politics cannot be questioned or disputed. And similarly, nobody asks why Christianity, Islam, and Judaism, the three largest organized religions on the planet, and certainly the three largest organized religions in the Western world, nobody asks why Christianity, Islam, and Judaism shut off the professional ministry to women. No female priests, no female imams, very few female pastors in Roman Protestantism, And even in Judaism, with some of its very liberal bodies, the number of women rabbis has never exceeded 25%. No priests in Roman Catholicism, very few pastors in Roman Protestantism, no female clergy in Islam, and very, very few female clergy in Judaism. Nobody asked the question why the sons of Abraham so universally and so completely scorned their sisters. We say we accept that as the way because it simply has always been that way. We accept it as being the way because it simply has always been that way. And we can trace this back really in real terms to Ephesus AD 65. This is where it all started. Actually, it probably started a little bit before that. But we can talk about AD 65 because that's when the self-appointed Apostle Paul arrived in the city of Ephesus. And he arrived in the city of Ephesus bent on conquest. What he hoped would be the scene of his next great victory turned into something quite else. Within 3 years of his arrival in Ephesus, Paul would face a church tribunal and be found guilty of being a false apostle. That's talked about in Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. And I want to talk about how the man from Tarsus got started in Ephesus and what he did to overplay his hand and get run out of town after a riotous mob nearly took his life. We're talking about Goddess Arise today on the Fresh Daily version of the Christian Whistleblower Show. And I am Jeffrey Daugherty, your Christian Whistleblower. I want to read Acts chapter 19, verse number 1. It says, "It happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the upper country and came to Ephesus and found some disciples." Now, it should come as no surprise to us that the King James Diversion, I know you call it the King James Version, I call it the King James Diversion because that's exactly what it is. The King James Diversion butchers the original Greek in its English rendering here. The verse should truly read, "Paul came to Ephesus and gathered to himself some learners." There were not already disciples in Ephesus. Paul made them. And that is key, and you'll see why as we continue our study. And then a few verses later, Acts 19:7, it says, "There were in all about 12 men." It's very interesting. Paul now had his own 12 disciples. I wonder where he saw that. I wonder what he's trying to copy. I wonder why he's trying to use to validate himself. So how interesting. Paul gathers himself his own 12 disciples. He was clearly working to reshape the narrative and recover his reputation that had taken such a beating during the time of his battle with the true apostles of Yeshua. And I want to show to you today, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that Paul was indeed the very first Christian con man. Acts 19:12 says that God was performing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul, so that handkerchiefs or aprons were even carried from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out. I believe this is the first recorded instance of a crooked preacher trying to make a buck. Sorry about that. I inadvertently hit the mute button. This is the first recorded instance of a crooked preacher trying to make a buck. Ephesus was a city at that time full of holy men selling their various relics, as even a cursory reading of the book of Ephesians or a cursory study of history will show you. And Paul did not give his healing hankies away for free. You can rest assured of that. And the next time that your stomach turns at the sight of some charlatan hawking his latest wares, remember the source. Now, that's not to say that there's anything wrong with legitimate ministers, legitimate spiritual workers offering legitimate products, but when you're selling snake oil, you deserve to be called out for doing it. The apples never fall far from the tree, even the rotten ones. And, you know, the first Christian book burning took place about this time. Acts 19:19 talks about it. Many of those who practiced magic brought their books together and began burning them in the sight of everyone. And they counted up the price of them and found it to be 50,000 pieces of silver. This is in AD 57. You can imagine how much money that was. Paul is also the brainchild of another time-honored Christian tradition. He organized the very first book burning. Let's look again at the rendering in the King James Version. It says, many of those who practice magic. Now, the Greek word here doesn't mean magic at all. Its literal rendering is actually closer to what we would call a busybody. So Paul, or a Pauline puppet translator over the centuries, used the volatile word magic to rhetorically tar and feather people that simply had religious beliefs that he did not approve of. The busybodies, people that were saying things that he didn't believe in, are branded with the word magic. And of course, the practice of marginalizing those that are different is a tactic that we are unfortunately still well aware of today. These people had been involved in devotion to the sacred feminine or earth worship. That's going to become abundantly clear as we proceed. And Paul brags that over 50,000 pieces of silver worth of scrolls and writings were burned up. Now, keep in mind that these were scrolls of ancient knowledge, scrolls of ancient wisdom, and religion of other cultures. And this was the Apostle Paul doing it. It's the exact same mindset and the exact same actions that drive fanatic Muslims today to destroy ancient art and culture. And universally, the Muslims are castigated for doing such horrible things and destroying historic treasures. Why aren't we consistent and give Paul the same treatment? They burned up 50,000 silver pieces worth of ancient knowledge, scrolls, and writings. Paul and his ilk were no better. They destroyed any and everything that did not agree with Paul's new religion. Same Abrahamic terrorism, just a different brand. Pauline Christian terrorists burning books are no better than Muslim Abrahamic terrorists burning books, destroying temples. And finally, Paul, he overplayed his hand. Acts 19:27, you see and hear that not only in Ephesus, but in almost all of Asia, this Paul has persuaded and turned away a considerable number of people, saying that gods made with hands are no gods at all. Not only is there danger that this trade of ours fall into disrepute, but also that the temple of the great goddess Artemis be regarded as worthless, and that she, whom all of Asia and the world worship, will even be dethroned from her magnificence. And when they heard this, they were filled with rage and began crying out, great is Artemis of the Ephesians. They did this for a couple of hours. And this verse tells us a lot of things. It confirms the fact that Paul's real target was not magic, but people that practiced religions he did not agree with. He was roaming over almost all of Asia, preaching against the historical religions and the historical gods of the indigenous peoples. We also see that Paul was indeed selling his own religious artifacts as his wares, or replacing those being sold by the Ephesians. And finally, the Ephesians got so tired of Paul preaching against their goddess Artemis. You have to understand that the city of Ephesus was dedicated to Artemis and was actually home of a magnificent temple that was dedicated to this goddess as well. And the temple was so magnificent that it was one of the ancient wonders, one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. And finally, in Acts 19:29-30, the city was filled with confusion. They rushed with one accord into the theater, dragging along Gaius and Aristarchus, Paul's traveling companions. Again, the King James Version gets it wrong. What the King James calls confusion is actually correctly rendered an unruly, riotous mob. The truth is that the whole city was fed up with Paul and his teachings and was out to end it in the most direct way by ending Paul. They rushed with one accord into the theater, stormed the theater. That's the actual rendering. And this theater, by the way, held about 25,000 people. And the original language shows that it was packed with people opposing Paul. That, folks, is what you call a riot. And they drug along Gaius and Aristarchus, Paul's traveling companions. And predictably, this shows you what kind of guy Paul was. When it came time to face the music, the maestro was nowhere to be found. When it came time to face the music, Paul left his musicians to play alone. Paul was nowhere to be found, and two of his unlucky and abandoned associates were dragged before the bloodthirsty mob. And they shouted for 2 hours, Acts 19:34 says, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians." And after a few dungish versions of the ridiculous, clearly added by Pauline translators, we get back to the real narrative. And the town was fed up with Paul, his mistreatment of their goddess, and the rest of chapter 19 is little more than added Pauline dung. The reality is that the mob was talked out of drawing and quartering Paul and accepting a public trial instead. Studied opinion that this was almost without doubt the event that precipitated the trial of Paul mentioned in Revelation chapter 2. They wanted to kill Paul, but they settled for putting him on trial, an ecclesiastical trial, actually. But what we do know for sure is that Paul left Ephesus and never returned. So thorough was his routing that he complained to Timothy, "All those in Asia have abandoned me." Actually, in the original language, it says, "Asia, all those in Asia have thrown me out of the church." A church that he founded. And I must ask, was it something he said? The obvious question is what Paul said to set them off. What was it? He had likely been in Ephesus for about 2 years before the big blow up. What could he have been teaching about that would cause such an explosion of anger, such an explosion of rancor? I think I may have an idea. Now, keep in mind, Ephesus was a city dedicated to a goddess and ruled by the worship of a goddess. It's without mention that women were held in high esteem in Ephesus, at least equal to that of men. And this was the dynamite that Paul ignited. Here's some of his words that were the fire that lit the fuse. 1 Corinthians 11:3. "But I want you to understand that Christ is the head of every woman and that the man is the head of the woman." The literal rendering of this teaching is man is ruler of woman. Now I ask you, in a society that was at least egalitarian and possibly matriarchal, how well do you think that went over? Man is the ruler of woman. And Paul was just getting started. In 1 Timothy 2:12, he wrote, "I don't allow a woman to teach or exercise authority over a man, but she must remain quiet." I think the Ephesians were less than happy with Paul's assertion that a woman should not be allowed to exercise government over a man. There were clearly many women in ecclesiastical authority in the Temple of Artemis. Wikipedia states that Ephesus was a bastion of women's rights in the Wikipedia.org article on Ephesus. And here's Paul saying these things of monumental stupidity. Paul was digging his grave deeper. And deeper still, he said, "Women must be quiet and receive instruction with submissiveness." The literal rendering is, "Women must be completely silent and obediently do as ordered." Colossians 3:18 says, "Women are under authority, submission, rank, and control." Ephesians 5:22 says, "The man is the ruler and head of the wife." Titus 2:4 says, "Women should stay at home, be subjected under the authority and control of their husbands." And then 1 Corinthians chapter 14, he says, "Women should be totally silent in church. They're not allowed to so much as utter a sound. It's disgraceful for them to talk, utter a sound, or even whisper in the congregation." in a bastion of women's rights, Paul is saying these things. Do you really have any surprise left that he caused a riot? Do you have any surprise left that they tried to kill the fool? And then he said, man doesn't originate from woman, but woman from man. Not only is this staggeringly misogynistic, it's patently untrue. The text clearly shows that males and females were created at the same time in Genesis 1, 26 and 27. And then he gets himself in deeper. Personally, I think this is where the riot started. Paul said, man was not created for woman's sake, but woman for the man's sake. That sounds bad enough in the King James Version, but the literal rendering is that woman, the woman is created for the man's account, use, and pleasure. The woman is created for the man's account, use, and pleasure. The connotation of sexual ownership is unmistakable, but true to form, Paul is nothing if not subtle. Therefore, the woman should have power, authority, ownership, and jurisdiction over her head. Do you really wonder why the fool or how the fool started a riot? I don't think so. He's in a bastion of women's rights, a city dedicated to and really controlled by the worship of a goddess, and he's preaching this stupid, I almost said a bad word, stuff to these people. No wonder they rioted. But the real question in my mind is, why do Christian women today continue to populate churches that teach this garbage? Well, that's about it for today. We're going to wrap up. I'll be back tomorrow with part two of Goddess Arise. I think I've given you a few things to chew on in the interim. Listen to Cliff. He'll tell you where you can find me between now and then. And until we meet again, I'm Jeffrey Daugherty, the Christian Whistleblower, encouraging you to unindoctrinate yourself.
Stay connected with the Christian Whistleblower at www.christianwhistleblower.com. On Facebook, follow Jeffrey Daugherty and Jeffrey Daugherty Show. And on Twitter at NC Kabbalah. Visit ChristianWhistleblower.com today to learn how to create yourself and to live the life you'll love.